This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann, as well as Juliet Jacobs and Dashrin Johan. So before the break, we were celebrating Bat Week, which is held annually from the 24th to the 31st of October. But right now to a very different story.
Yes, that's right. We are just about a week away from the US presidential elections, which is on the 3rd of November, though voters have already begun casting their votes for a few weeks now in various parts of the US. And so, of course, we've been seeing plenty of news and posts on both candidates, current US President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden. Perhaps predictably also, we've been seeing many attacks from both camps on each other, both policy related and, of course, personal.
Yeah, and it's one of those personal attacks that we're going to be talking about today, not so much in terms of the United States politics, but in terms of something most of us can relate to, which is father-son relationships. So late last week, right-wing commentator and TV host John Cardillo tweeted a portrait photo of Biden and his son Hunter. In the shot, Biden and Hunter are embracing each other and Biden is kissing Hunter on the cheek. So Cardillo captioned the picture, and I quote here, "Does this look like an appropriate father-son interaction to you?" He followed that up with another quote, "Good morning to everyone except the creepy Bidens and their creepy staged pics."
So, of course, the backlash from Biden supporters was swift. But rather than attacking Cardillo or Trump for the tweet, though, you know, there were plenty who did that, most people went with a more positive and just frankly sweet way of clapping back. So it began with journalist and author of For the Love of Men, From Toxic to a More Mindful Representation. So Plank invited men to reply to Cardillo's original tweet with pictures of their dads holding them. And thousands of men responded, not just with pictures of themselves with their fathers, but also with personal anecdotes and responses.
Yeah, and the tweets are honestly such a heartwarming read. Some men shared stories of how their fathers supported and stood by them through difficult periods of their lives. Others talked about how their dads are no longer around and how Biden and Hunter's pictures reminded them of the special relationship they had shared with their own fathers. So some said their fathers continue to hug and kiss them into their adulthood. And one particular tweet by a Twitter user named Daniel Brennan was particularly poignant. He said, and I quote, "My dad wasn't super physically affectionate with me, but he was more affectionate than his father, and I am way more affectionate with my son." And I think this is an important point about how these things are evolving over time as well.
And yes, so just for a little bit of context, you know, the reason this picture has attracted so much attention is also because Hunter Biden has become a bit of a lightning rod for the Trump campaign in terms of trying to discredit Joe Biden. In the last few weeks, Trump's camp has intensified allegations that Hunter has been using Biden's previous position as vice president to strengthen his own business dealings. And though there is, you know, thus far very little evidence to prove this, but Hunter's personal life has provided fodder for them too. Hunter has openly admitted to struggling with alcoholism and drug use. In 2013, Hunter was discharged from a position in the U.S. Navy Reserve after testing positive for cocaine. And these are all the things that the Trump campaign has been playing up as well.
But to bring it back to that picture that we started with, right, it's Joe Biden's response to all this that has struck many people and perhaps why this picture has received the support that it has. So when Trump brought up Hunter's drug use during the first presidential debate in September, Biden's response was to simply say his son has struggled, but that he was on his path to recovery. So he said, and I quote, "I'm proud of him. I'm proud of my son." So in a New Yorker interview last year, Hunter talked about how, you know, during one of his dark periods of alcoholism, Biden, who was then vice president, would call him several times a day. He would show up. He would show unannounced. And Hunter said his father told him, and I quote, "I need you. What do we need to do?"
Yeah, and even if you're a skeptic, right, and sure, you know, Biden's a politician, this could And you know, this photo and all could just all be part of this campaign. There's no denying that as a father, Biden has consistently demonstrated a sort of affection that is still relatively rare between fathers and sons. Their family's tragic background is well known. In 1972, Biden's first wife and infant daughter were killed in a car accident. Hunter and his brother, Beau, were also involved but survived despite serious injuries. This was right before Biden's first senatorial appointment, and Hunter was 2 years old then. The two boys and Biden grew up very close and had a close relationship with his second wife Jill and their children as well. Then in 2015, Bill died of a brain tumor, and it was after this that many of Hunter's challenges with alcoholism and drug use escalated. So these stories have continuously trailed Biden during his vice presidency and this current presidential campaign. And it is to Biden's credit that instead of hiding Hunter away, he has highlighted his support of him.
Yes, and you know, for so many people, this picture is not just a campaign stunt, but an example of a relationship that Biden has continuously demonstrated throughout his life. I don't know, maybe perhaps a rare moment of honesty from a politician, who knows? But more significantly, the picture was a positive reflection of a different kind of masculinity, a different way of being a father, I suppose.
And I don't know, to me, when I saw this tweet when it blew up on the platform, you know, and I didn't see what the issue was, because it was really just a photo of a father and a son embracing and a father showing his love for his son. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, Joe Biden was kissing his son on the cheek, but I guess to people who are not used to seeing these forms of affection being expressed publicly, I guess that makes certain people uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I think that says a lot more about the people commenting than about the actual act of, you know, a father kissing his son.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly, because how I'm more baffled that this is even a thing, right? that people are even attacking the Bidens for this and all, and it has found its way to become this whole political battle and all. I don't get it, because it's not that, even just looking from it from even my own perspective, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, right? Like, I'm not very affectionate with my dad and all. When I look at this picture, I don't get weirded out by it or something. It's not, you know, to put it crudely, it's not that as if Biden and his son were making out and they caught that on photograph. It's something very normal. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I guess the question is, why is it that images and demonstrations of love and affection between men, between fathers and sons, are still so unusual? So to help us unpack this, we have on the line consultant clinical psychologist, Dr. Joelle Lau. Thank you for joining us, Joelle. Now, broadly speaking, are men raised to demonstrate less of, to demonstrate less affection with each other? How does this happen?
Yeah, I think by and large, that is something that happens, right? And I think this happens because of the whole stereotypical traditionalistic roles that both men and women play, right? So in all of history, you know, or at least from way back when, right, females were largely regarded to be the ones that would stay at home, be the caregivers who would raise the kids and all that kind of things, right? And while the men would be the ones out there earning the bread, right? So they're breadwinners, they, you know, they're going out there working and stuff like that. And this has both historical, social, and also biological reasons why this is so, right? And I think fast forward to right now, of course, there's lots more equality. There's a lot more parity, like, in terms of the roles that both men and women play. But I think some vestiges of that still remain, right? So that means guys are still expected to be the strong ones, the stoic ones, the ones who don't buckle, you know, the pillar of the family, for example, and things like that. I mean, experiences tells us, you know, stories tell us, you know, news articles tell us that that's not the case. You know, both men and women are equally susceptible to emotional breakdowns, to emotional difficulties, turmoil, and all that kind of stuff. But because that's the society's expectations of us, and for a lot of us, that's what our parents share with us as we grow up, that becomes our reality, right? And that's why guys find it so hard to express themselves, to cry, for example, or to even admit they're going through a hard time, right? And I think that's why you see a lot of times depression, for example. You see a lot more cases of that reported in women that are mild to moderate. But with guys, it's usually the severe cases. And the idea behind that is that they keep it inside, or buckle in, right? Until it's too late, until it's like reaching the negative, the red zone, so to speak, right? And that's when they come in to seek for help.
And with this being the case, is it then difficult or confronting for many men to see this sort of affection between, say, father and son, as in the case of Joe and Hunter Biden?
I think so, because it challenges the existing views or opinions that they have about affection between two guys, right? I think, like, you know, if you watch the movies, teen movies in the 90s and all that, guys, for example, they are the ones who are, you know, up to slapstick humor, for example. They are smacking each other and things like that. And affection is very rarely shown, right? And that's something that we've grown up on, right? So when you see evidence or pictures of two guys being affectionate to one another, it's very jarring, right? Especially in the media, right? And I think because of that, people are, they get triggered in the sense that it's something so new, it's something so atypical that they don't know how to react towards it. You know, and I think that's why, even though it's with a father and son, right? And if you think about it, if this was, this picture was, let's say, 60 years older, if Joe Biden was a new dad and the son was a few months old, would that, yeah, would this have set that much repercussion or reaction? Probably not, right? But because these are two grown men, I think that's why there's so much of a triggering factor, like, in that sense, like, there's so much reaction towards that picture.
But then, is it important for boys to openly receive affection from their fathers, not just as children, but even as adults?
I think that's really important, especially now, right? I think when we've, as when the field of psychology has expanded and has matured over the years, right, we're realizing more and more that when people suppress their emotions, the only thing it's going to do is it's going to act like a pressure cooker, basically, right? It's just going to make whatever emotions that you have build and build and build to a point where if you have no release valve, you just explode, or we divert our energies towards destructive behaviors like alcohol and things like that, for example, right? And I think children, as you grow up, you know, we model after our parents. Our parents' behaviors and all that, we take after them, so to speak, right? So if we grow up with parents, or let's say in particular a father who is very not affectionate, who's not very emotionally expressive, for example, that's how we learn how to be men ourselves, right? So when we grow up, we don't know how to express our emotions, or rather, we learn that it's not right for us to express our emotions. So as we grow up, young children, yes, that's a different story. But as we grow up in our teens, young teens, young adulthood, for example, that becomes significantly less and less and less. And because of that, we have fed this idea that to grow up, to be a man, I cannot show expressions anymore. I cannot show emotions anymore. And that's bad for anyone involved.
And what does it do for men and boys to have that kind of affection from their fathers? You know, how does it impact their mental health and emotional growth?
I think it really connects them. It makes them more congruent, put it that way, right? So let's say, for example, like during this COVID-19 lockdown and things like that, right? I argue 95% of us are going through a rough time. We're struggling either at work or just being at home and trying to balance doing my work and also taking care of my family, for example. The uncertainty of my job security, you know, where do I have a job still? Is my company going to survive lockdown, for example? And all these kind of negative emotions are obviously in the air right now, right? For someone who is incongruent with their emotions, meaning that they're not able to express outwardly how they're feeling, and by extension, then seek for help for it, what's going to happen is that it's just going to become a pressure cooker situation, right? So it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And, you know, ultimately what's going to happen is that, especially now when we're in lockdown and we don't have regular access to our friends and peers and all that, it's going to be quite dangerous, because then we're left to our own devices. We're left to fend off all these negative thoughts on our own, right? Now, if you contrast this with someone who's a bit more emotionally congruent, emotionally more be able to express themselves and experience these emotions in a healthy way, if they're struggling right now, they can seek for help, right? Either to see a therapist or reach out to friends, do a Zoom call or whatever you call it, right? And that way, then they can get the support that they need. I think being emotionally congruent, emotionally expressive means that A, you're aware about what's going on, but more importantly, B, when you need help, you can get help. Right, there's no need to keep on a mask or a facade that I'm strong and I'm okay and I'm fine and I don't need to rely on anyone for help. Right, when that goes away, we can get the help that we need, and I think it's going to be better for everyone in the long run.
So, in terms of social norms or practices, you know, what does it do when a prominent public figure like Joe Biden openly shows his affection towards his son?
I think it's going to be divisive, right? I think obviously the reactions from articles and on social media has shown us that it's going to be divisive, definitely, because it's so, like I said earlier on, it's just so atypical. It's not something that you see, especially with two grown men who are, and also it's father and son as well, right? But I think the most important thing is that it creates conversations about this narrative, right? And what I mean by that is that people will start talking about it. A lot of times, this kind of social norms, so to speak, or social expectations, right, are unspoken, right? These are things we are expected to know, expected to practice. For example, in Malaysia, two grown men are not expected to hold hands. But if you go to India or Bangladesh, for example, that's a very common occurrence, right? And when we see it, we wonder, huh, what's going on? What's happening there? But when you have such prominent figures like this expressing their emotions in such a wonderful way, right, it creates conversations, good and bad, right? So you've got the people who are against it, you know, who object to it and say that, oh, you know, there's something immoral perhaps about the picture, and people who support it, people who say, hey, this is fantastic, it's a very healthy expression of love and affection. And when you have both sides of the divide, that's going to just create more conversation, more discussion about it. And when we start talking about it, it brings forth, it makes us aware about what's going on. Suddenly all these unspoken social norms, social rules that we've held in place, it makes us ask the question, huh, how come? Why do we do that? Why do we keep that? Is it important for us? Is it good for us? And then all of us get to decide for ourselves whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think ultimately that's what's going to help determine how good or bad this picture, the influence of this picture is going to be on our culture and society. But at the very least, people are now aware about it and people are talking about it, and you get to decide for yourself what you want for yourself.
And in terms of the outpouring of people who pushed back towards the post that called the Biden picture creepy, do these sorts of online movements contribute towards shifting perspectives and attitudes?
I think they do, but with a large caveat that it's shared in a way or shared on platforms that are widely accessible. So what I mean by this is that, you know, there's this online phenomenon called an echo chamber, right? So, for example, if I am an Arsenal fan, I'm a football fan, right? And because in social media, they've got algorithms in place that would feed me content that I like. So if I like Arsenal, for example, and I keep engaging with Arsenal content, my social media accounts are going to realize that, hey, Joel likes Arsenal. So he's going to give me more Arsenal-related content. So an echo chamber, meaning that I create my own sphere of influence or information, and I live within that sphere. And if it's Arsenal, it's Arsenal. So if, for example, all these wonderful people are sharing these wonderful images of them and with their fathers and their parents and engaging in good emotional behavior, but it's only shared on platforms that are their own, what's going to happen is that it's just going to be an echo chamber. Everyone's going to hear the same thing, right? So if, let's say, for example, media centers like news articles, for example, that come out like this, for example, on Huffington Post, or if, let's say, the broadcast news picks it up, for example, so it's more wider reach, it's more neutral kind of reach kind of platforms, so more people have access to it and see it and see what's going on. I think then the influence is going to be much greater, right? Mm-hmm. So, and it's also vice versa as well. People who are against it, you know, when they go into that whole echo chamber, they're going to think, oh yeah, look, everyone in the world agrees with me as well, right? So I think that needs to be breached. Once we can breach the echo chamber, then I think there's going to be more influence on both sides.
And finally, do you have suggestions for men listening on how to become more comfortable with expressing their affection or love, whether with their sons or fathers, or perhaps even with other relationships?
That's a really good question, really hard to do, because we're talking about generations of stereotyping, social norms, social expectations, social rules, and all that kind of things. So it's going to be quite hard to do. And honestly, when it's something that's so difficult to do, the easiest thing to do or the most efficacious thing to do is to try, right? Pick someone that you're close to, someone that you feel safe with, someone you know that's not going to judge you for no good reason, right? And share and talk about it, right? You know, talk about your own emotions, talk about how you want to be able to give your friend a hug and ask for a hug if you need one, for example, right? So start with those baby steps. This could be your partner, your spouse, for example, or your own kids, or even your own parents, right? You know, there are people that I know who are 40 years, 50 years old, and they've never had a hug from their parents before, for example, right? So start with people that you're safe with and comfortable with, and start engaging with them on that level, right? And once you have an experience, or once you feel what that's like, then hopefully then you can generalize that and replicate that with your other relationships in your life, right? Again, we're not talking about universal acceptance or, you know, everyone needs to be in my sphere of hugging, for example. No, obviously you still pick and choose who you engage with, but at least you know you can when you want to, and when you need it, you are able to reach out for it. So I think that's a good first step.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Joel. That was consultant clinical psychologist, Dr. Joel Lau. So, you mentioned a bit of this earlier, Dash, mm-hmm. but what have your own experiences with affection and physical affection been like with your own dad?
I mean, I'll be honest, like not just my dad, even with my mom, but more so with my dad than my mom. I'm not physically affectionate with them. We just never, maybe when we were kids, we had that. But growing up, like especially once you go, when I went past the primary, secondary school zone and all. So now I can tell you that it's been probably years since I hugged my dad or my mom. Maybe we'll do it like, you know, during Deepavali or something when, you know, like when everyone is hugging each other, that sort of thing, you know, after the fireworks kind of thing. that sort of thing, which is, you know, that might happen, but generally, like even when I go back for the holidays or anything, go back to my hometown, we rarely like do that way. And like in recent years, I've become closer to my parents. Like, for example, I call my mom every day and all that. So, but yet when it comes to that physical affection, it's not there, especially with my dad. Even my brother and dad also has that similar relationship. Whereas my sister, with my parents, it's completely different. So like my sister is super affectionate with them. They are super affectionate, like physically affectionate. And my sister is also very, like, I hug my sister very frequently, just not my parents.
I was about to say, I think you're the problem, but then you countered it with, she's affectionate with you. There goes my theory. But I don't know, for me, I mean, we come from an affectionate family. My father, not so much. I suppose he comes from that much, much older generation. They don't really hug. But, you know, that's all transferred now to the grandkids. You know, it's the kids are like done with, they're boring. Now it's the grandkids that get all the affection. But I did notice, like, for my husband's brother, so he has got three sons. You know, the three hulking boys, but so much of affection between all of them, you know, so much of hugs from their parents, hugs from us. And, you know, they're not afraid of it. They're not shy of it. You know, it's a very nice sort of feeling. It really builds some wonderful bonds and nobody looks at it as weird. It's just, you know, it's just what you do with people that you love.
Yep. Yeah. And it's similar in my family as well. I think because my late grandfather was very affectionate with my dad and his brothers. And so my uncles are the same with their sons as well. And so as someone who, I guess, you know, that is pretty much the norm in our family. So when I see images, photos like this of men being, of fathers and sons being comfortable to show their affection to each other, it's just normal to me. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, how does it still surprise you if you see any photos like that online? Especially if it's public figures like Joe Biden, I guess.
It doesn't surprise me. It actually warms my heart when I see it because it's quite rare to see. Like when I saw this picture of the two of them and, you know, knowing the backstory of Hunter, you know, all his struggles and everything, it was like, how lovely is it that even at this age, Hunter Biden still has his dad to hug? He still, you know, as an adult, you know, you find that you can't, you know, you have to shoulder everything yourself, right? How fortunate you are to have a loving father to be there for you. I mean, staged or whatever, who knows, yeah. Right? But it was still a wonderful, lovely, really heartwarming image for me.
But very quickly, Dash, yes. You know, how is physical affection important to you then? You know, how do you feel how do hugs make you feel?
I do like it. There's no denying about that. So generally, I am a physically affectionate person right now. I've noticed that over the past few years, especially with my friends. I hug my friends often and all. I think it's just what I notice a lot of sons and fathers don't really have that. Because when I notice my cousins and, you know, like everyone, but all the guys, somehow they're not close that way to their dad. But again, none of us look at it as something to be proud of or something to poke fun at someone else for doing it. It's just something we all know that we have something inside of us that we need to work on. Like, you know, like not being physically affectionate on purpose or, you know, having certain barriers there when both sides, all sides, everybody involved knows that they probably wish that there are no barriers like that there. You know, that's not something to be proud of. It's not something to, you know, like puff your chest out and say, I don't hug my dad and my dad doesn't hug me. So it warms my heart as well when I see, you know, pictures like this.
Yes. And, you know, if you're interested in hearing more on evolving ideas of masculinity, do check out our podcast called What Exactly is Toxic Masculinity on BFM.my, or you can find it on the BFM app.
Yes. And you can continue to share your thoughts with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp into 018-789-8899. And that's unfortunately all the time we have for today's show. But if you want to connect with us, you can look us up on Facebook. We're at BFM The Bigger Picture, and you can drop us a message there. And, you know, you can also head over to BFM.my or the BFM app or BFM.my/Daily Digest to download the podcast if you miss any part of this show. And we are also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And coming up next on Front Row, Sharmila Gunnison will be speaking to musician and music producer Elwin V on his work in Hollywood, where he has worked on movies such as Kung Fu Panda 3 and Kingsman: The Golden Circle. So, you know, you want to stay tuned to that after the 3 p.m. news. And right now, we'll leave you with Father and Son by Cat Stevens. This has been the this has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.